Welcome again to the Professional Services Pursuit, a podcast featuring expert advice and insights on the professional services industry. I'm Brent, one of your co-hosts, and today I'm joined by Matt Odette. Matt is the VP of Operations and Talent Management at the event and experience agency, Cramer. Cramer is a great example of a business that puts people and values first in everything they do by building a culture that encourages collaboration, creativity, trust, and financial responsibility. Today, we're going to talk about how they have built and fostered that culture over time and the steps, tools, and processes they've used to get there. So, Matt, thanks so much for joining and appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Brent. I'm really excited. And I will mention, this is my first ever podcast. So I've listened to a lot of podcasts over the years, but my first time being a guest on a podcast. So excited.
Well,
that's
fantastic. And next time you're maybe in the car with the family, driving, and you can just flip it over on whatever your listening platform is of choice, and your voice will come through and sound really impressive, because our producers do a great job, I think. But for those that are not familiar with Cramer and the shop, tell us a little bit about the firm, and then flip that into your role and how this notion of being the VP of Operations and Talent Management came to be.
First, really start off with the history of Cramer. You know, as a business, we've been in business 42 years. So, as we know, that's no easy feat for an agency. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our success was really from our founder, Tom Red Martin, who unfortunately passed away in 2017. But he was just such an incredible leader, incredible person, a visionary, and instrumental really in building Cramer into the organization that it is today. So I think it's important to kind of look into our history to see what we do. As a business now, we came up and grew up from the world of production. So that's where we started, mainly in video production. So we're unique in the agency space because we really understand the execution of production first and foremost, and we do it all sort of under one roof, as we say, and we've kind of grown the business into supporting over the multiple decades, creative and strategy and overall positioning for event experiences and audience experiences, to deliver some really incredible live event programs, content programs, and strategy engagement. So that's kind of a nutshell of who we are, and the uniqueness that we kind of exist in our world, in along with the rest of the agencies that are out there. In terms of my role in my journey, it's kind of informed a lot of who I am. As I really started in the business from the ground floor, from the ground up, so to speak. I came into that. I didn't know this world really existed prior to coming into Cramer, and my first job was actually here in the warehouse. So I was part of the warehouse production team, and I was loading trucks and really understood and learned the business from the ground up. And from there, kind of grew my career into project management through living really one of our values, which is curiosity. And we'll get into that, I know, later on in as we talk about, you know, how values are critical in how we manage our business. But that curiosity of really understanding and wanting to understand not only how we deliver the work, but also understand how the business actually works. How does it function? How do we do all of this incredible, awesome creativity and production and design work, but also do it in a way that is profitable so that the business can continue to grow and continue to invest in talent? So through that journey, that curiosity is really what led me down a path of project management, and then from there into operations, and now currently on as a team member on the executive leadership team.
Yeah, I think, you know, that notion of operations and talent management together is really interesting, and I think it'd be interesting to a lot of our listeners. We have a saying in professional services that, you know, the product really are and is the people, right? Exceeding client expectations, bringing compelling solutions to the market. So, you know, Cramer, that sounds like very, very strong values, first infused by the founder and now carried on through the rest of the team, and a great tenure. So congratulations on that. It as you note, it's not an easy feat in a very volatile business. But being predominantly an independent shop, you're in the greater Boston area serving global clients. It sounds to me, you know, just in some of these intros, that talent cultivation, empowering talent, attracting great talent, cultivating talent, where does that fit in to the values equation? And it sounds like it's really key to the success.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great observation. And I would agree 100% that in the professional services space, and particularly the creative services and agency space, it's really all about the people and the team. It's not easy work, as many of us know. There's a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of challenges that we face day in and day out to deliver those exceptional experiences. But if we empower our people, trust our people, build that sense of collaboration and shared ownership in our collective vision, and really treat people like human beings, listen, make sure that we're leading with empathy and understanding their challenges. And the reality is, you know, coming back to my journey and my path here at Cramer, the one thing that's really apparent is that it's so essential for professional services organizations and for leadership, for that matter, to really understand the work at the level where the work is being done. And that's at the people level. If you're delivering exceptional experiences, if you're facing challenges, if you want to continue to evolve and innovate and have a high level of engagement, you really need to rely on the people who are closest to the clients, closest to the work, who really understand what it takes to get the job done so that you can be top, best in class at what you deliver. You can't do that from top-down leadership. You really have to start with the people doing the work who understand what it really takes and understand those challenges.
So that's a great, because it really is all about the work, right? So that's a great theme and explanation. So let's talk a little bit about execution, right? I mean, most shops, whether it's consulting, hybrid, agency branding, positioning, even IT consulting to a degree, will say, you know, we put our people and our values first. They'll espouse this. You'll see it on their website. Give it all kinds of monikers. But give us some ideas of how you really execute that. You know, how does that culture come through and infuse really the operations, how work gets done?
Sure. It's a great question. And it really starts with the culture of the organization. And you know, if we go back to our beginnings, that's the culture that we and Tom Red Martin had really established at the beginning, which is this sense of transparent leadership, this notion of being empathetic, being understanding, being human led and driven, and also a culture of candor. So, you know, it's one thing, as we've all seen, for organizations and companies to, you know, put the values up on the website, to put them on a wall somewhere. But how do you actually, in practice, live those values? And for us, it comes in a few different paths. We always make sure that we're weighing our collaboration, our attitude, our communication with each other against those values. We're always making sure that we're talking about those values, and then making sure that we put the systems and processes and accountability in place so that people really do understand what they mean. And a lot of that comes down to also great storytelling. I mean, you know, having people throughout every level of the organization tell stories about how we put those values into action, as well as some of the programs and accountability things that we have in place, like recognition, for example. And we really strive to continue to not only improve, but to really put recognition on the forefront. We know that's so critical to human organizations. And the more that we can recognize the great work of our teams, the great work of collaboration. That just has a snowball effect where people really see the results, the success. The more we talk about it, the more we're open about it, the more we discuss what's working and what's not working, really helps foster and live those in a real way.
Your the type of work, and for our listeners, and in your description, lots of event, lots of experiential positioning, branding, audiovisual. You're coming to us from one of the studio bays that you produce content for clients on. So very sophisticated types of work. With that comes really complex types of engagements, right? And in with complexity comes, I think, you know, some arduous work. I know, you know, putting on a major experiential event or for a client can be a really daunting undertaking. And the fact that you probably do it well is testament to your duration and your longevity in the market. Give us maybe like some ideas on, you know, that sheer tonnage of the work, doing it creatively, exceeding client expectations, but you spoke a little bit about not commoditizing people and talent and yet delivering really compelling work. So in Kramer's example, how do you do that? Is there are they unwritten rules? Are there processes in place that you utilize to really always look at that mechanism of the people and the deliverables?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a saying that we use quite a bit, which ties back to the pillars of the organization, which I'll get into in a moment. But we always say, you know, do what's right for the client, what's right for our people, and what's right for the company. And we talk about that in terms of balance. So every situation is unique. There's all kinds of scenarios that we get into where our teams, as well as leadership, are expected to make an incredible amount of decisions day in, day out that impact projects, client relationships, the culture of the organization, the business profitability, our overall growth and success. So by really thinking about it as a true balance of weighing each and every decision against those three criteria, our teams are able to make more informed decisions and have confidence in those informed decisions. So, you know, for example, if, you know, there's something going on a project where we need to absorb additional resources, additional mm-hmm. costs, additional time to make the project right. Say there's some tension between us and the client relationship, or maybe we missed the mark on a particular piece of the project, or there's a new client in place and they have a set of stresses or maybe not as familiar with the type of program or project or the company if they're newer to the organization. So with those scenarios, we want to make sure that we're doing right by the client. We understand the value of deep client relationships and that it is truly a partnership. And our teams are empowered to make the right decision for the client in those scenarios. But balanced with, for example, obviously you can't just give everything away. You can't just discount. You can't give away your resources or else the business is just not going to be profitable. You're not going to exist for 42 years successfully if you're doing that, if you're just constantly giving everything away. So our teams understand that delicate balance. And by having good data, good insights around what is the client, what is our resource capacity look like, what does the overall bigger picture of that relationship look like? What's the long-term relationship look like for that client? We can weigh all those factors and be able to make a more informed decision around how we approach certain challenges that may arise. Where, you know, if we're have a particular job or client where margins are continuously challenged and struggling and or a project might have been, you know, discounted for one reason or another, and there are scope changes that come up, those scenarios we might lean more towards making sure that we're getting compensated for some of those change of scope pieces of the project, because we know that overall from a 3,000 foot view, you know, the project already is having some other areas where we've had to make concessions. And then doing right by our people as well. We want to make sure that our people understand that they have the ability to make those right decisions. that they have the support from leadership to elevate and where to elevate situations where they might need additional guidance or mentorship around what the right decision may be. And we want to make sure that we're setting our people up for success. So we never want to, you know, take on a client or a project that's going to burn out our teams, that's going to cause unnecessary strain to the organization, that's going to create work that we aren't proud of and that the team is proud of. So we try and weigh all of those factors in the decision making, and that really is implemented through our organizational pillars.
So repeat for me as we dovetail into our next question, because I want to go a little deeper on that transparency. But you said, you know, those three primary criteria points, I think it was people, the firm, and the client, or did I invert those?
Yeah, you're right. The people, our company, and the client. So do right by all three of those in balance, weighted by, you know, the 3,000 foot view and the detailed view of what's happening at any point in time.
You know, that's a really good point and a nice segue. When we, you know, we're in the services space, we're obviously a platform that provides enablement to the services industry, but, you know, I talk to a large spectrum of services firms, you know, management consulting, BPO, IT, management consulting agencies, and there's always sort of a persistent thread. You know, people, of course, more or less power the offering, the product, and there's this question that arises around this notion of, you know, how transparent, how much power do we give our individual contributors, maybe our project managers, our team leads, however we dimensionalize that practice, to make decisions that inform profit. And to your point, you know, it could be a longstanding client but there's one project in the portfolio that has margin pressure. Do you give that leader the decision-making power to make those calls about, you know, making some concessions here for the greater good of the relationship? I mean, those are cycles that happen in a lot of firms pretty consistently. So, you know, practically or tactically, you know, how much power or transparency or maybe like commercial governance ability do you give to the folks who are leading these teams, and how deep does that go?
We really believe in empowering the teams to make the right decisions so that we can move fast. But with that, it requires, and it's part of our culture, is good conversation and dialogue, open, candid dialogue. So to your point about, you know, there are certain decisions that we clearly define can be made at any point by any team member. Like if we're on site and something's happening and we need to, you know, get a new piece of equipment or we need to get an additional labor resource, the teams are going to do it. The project success matters paramount to everything is making sure that we deliver a quality product. But part of our culture is really fostering collaboration. So oftentimes, you know, we'll get the stakeholders, including, you know, operations, an account lead, a project manager, technical lead, into a discussion to understand the project if necessary. And our leadership, as well as all of our management team, as well as all the way down through every single level of the organization, has the ability to speak up, has the ability to say, hey, this isn't right, or I think this can be done better, or let's have a conversation about this. And everyone's open and willing, this is part of how we operate, to listen, to understand the perspectives. If one team member might not see or have access to some of that financial data, but they know, hey, I'm going to make a decision here, I need to know from the people who have access to that information, how are we looking? Is this the decision I'm looking to make, but I want to make sure I'm weighing all those other factors before making that decision, so that we are informed around and we have the right balanced perspective on any particular decision. Does that answer your question?
I think so. And, you know, it we go into kind of the dovetail into that is, okay, you know, I'm a program lead or an engagement lead, account director or client lead, however that's conceptualized or labeled at Cramer, and I'm running a portfolio, running some large engagements. How does your firm then take that transparency of maybe enablement and latitude and decision making, and share, you know, performance of the firm or fiscal, commercial, however that might be, with everyone. Is that part of that culture of collaboration and transparency as well?
100%. You know, we have a bonus program in place that is really based on the two factors of revenue and profitability. So we share that information openly at our all team meetings, in our department team meetings. So folks do understand and have access to project margins. At the end of each project, we have our project manager, as well as our operations team, along with every team, core team member who is a part of that project. We do really thorough debriefs. And we not only talk about, you know, what went well, what could be improved in terms of the project delivery or the creativity or the execution or client feedback, but we also do an in-depth review of the financials of each project. And we have a healthy dialogue, healthy conflict, as we like to call it, mm-hmm. around, you know, where did we end up on this job? What decisions did we make? And we look under the hood to really understand and get alignment around, you know, why we made the decisions that we did. And as a team, collectively, if there were successes, we want to make sure that we're celebrating that, because that's going to encourage that type of momentum to go forward. Like, hey, this job, and we look for what we call win-win-wins, which is, again, going back to what's right for our clients or people in our business, is when we can deliver an exceptional client experience with awesome creativity. Our teams felt like they had the resources they needed and the support they needed to get it done successfully, and the project was profitable and met our project margin targets, which we were very transparent about with our teams of our goals. And we also know that when we have to make concessions, which every professional service organization makes those decisions, that the teams are aware of those so that they can manage their own expectations and the client expectations around how are we going to deliver this successfully. And we review those, and we have really good, open, candid dialogue around what worked, what didn't. And if we were to approach this project, a lot of our business often is cyclical. It's repeat business. It's mm-hmm. annual projects. So having that good data, that good dialogue, and really having great, deep conversation, but also documenting those findings, allows us to report back on those the following year and to take corrective action. And we've had so many success stories where, particularly when you have a brand new client, a brand new project you'd never worked with, there's no past history there. Those first projects are always going to be some of the most challenging, because you're learning unique working style, you're learning personalities, you're learning that sometimes things that you would just naturally assume someone might know, the client side might know, or we might know about them, just, you know, you don't know because you don't have that experience. So it's a little bit of a learning how they work, how they like to communicate, understanding and setting good, clear expectations on the front end. And also the reverse is also true. So just making sure there's clear expectations. And then we evaluate the success. So as we work on those types of projects, we have that good data, we have that good conversation, we have that real strong transparency and team-minded approach where we're trying to deliver awesome work, really awesome creative work, awesome client experiences, and do it on time and on budget. And you take those learnings and insights, and then you can apply them to the next project or apply them across multiple projects or even organizationally by spotting common trends or findings and sharing stories of success. And we've had some really great, great stories where we've had a first-time project and, you know, it was, you know, challenging out of the gate, but we ultimately delivered a really exceptional experience. The margins certainly could have been better, and, you know, the client and Cramer communication on both sides could have been better. So, you know, we're transparent with the client, we're transparent with our teams, we're transparent with what worked and what didn't work, so that when we have the opportunity, which we thankfully have, to do that project the following year, we can make the necessary adjustments, going back to our values of continuous improvement, to try and make incremental steps to make that project even better. And this just happened where we went through a second year program, and not only was the delivery and the execution and the creativity better than the year before. The client was super impressed with the team. They loved everything that we did. They were so complimentary of how the project ran. But we were able to significantly improve the margin on that project at the same time. So that's really where you get those win-wins. And you don't get that unless you're willing to have that healthy conflict, that open dialogue, and that transparency with the team so that you can continue to adjust. This isn't a perfect science, as we all know. Professional services is challenging. I mean, you're dealing with people, different skill sets, different client expectations, all kinds of budgetary pressures, whatever it might be along the way, along that journey. And all we can do is continue to try and do our best weighing those three things, using the insights and data that we have available, and empowering our teams to take action with that data to continue to get better, to continue to improve the process, to continue to work better together and have fun along the way as well.
Those are great examples. And again, you know, I'm struck that it would be tough to execute the type of work you do without those layers of transparency. But I think having the goals clearly articulated, where the firm is tracking, and having talent be able to see what their efforts can help manifest in terms of overall profitability and performance and share in some of those gains is really compelling. You reference data quite a bit and doing detailed postmortems, which I think a lot of our a lot of firms could probably do more of, you know, just to kind of do a, you know, what worked, what didn't. When did these decisions really impact the trajectory of both the project, the engagement, the relationship? But what types of technologies do you utilize to complete that work? You know, both keeping track of work and time, but alternately also the doing things like the postmortems, tracking the performance, and so forth.
And we use a suite of tools, but a lot of it really relies on the Kantata product that we use. That's really where we're managing all of our hours, our budget, our reporting. We have some best practices with that where our project manager producer team is evaluating the actuals and the burn along the way and sending weekly burn updates to the team. So even though the teams, creative teams, technical team members, others do have access and submit their time through Kantata, the reality is that if you're on the creative team, your focus is on delivering creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is we can't expect them to spend as much time as, you know, from an operations perspective. We would love that to have everybody in that tool understanding all of that, all of their hours and seeing their burn along the way. But we understand that that's just not the reality of their role. So our producer teams do a great job of not only with our account teams kicking off the project and setting those clear expectations on the front end, but then providing weekly burn reports and spotting when if things are going off the rails. Everyone has that ability to speak up, to hit the pause button and say, hey, things are going off the rails a little bit here, team, or the client doesn't seem to be happy, or we're missing the mark, or we're burning really hot on this job. Let's get together and let's discuss and a shared look at the problem. So like, instead of having folks point at each other, well, you know, you didn't scope this project right, or, you know, we didn't manage expectations in the right way. We don't get into any of that type of dialogue. We really say, what does success look like on this project? Where are we tracking? And how do we put our collective heads together to help get us back on track? What are the ideas? We've implemented a design thinking methodology at Cramer, which is something that I believe came out of an IDEO methodology. But you know, always thinking about how might we get this project back on track in a way that the client is really happy with the result, and we can get the profitability back on the job. So a lot of this type of the ways in which we communicate, the way in which we frame up problems, the ways in which we share data, like those weekly burn reports, like those debrief meetings at the end of a project, like the kickoff meetings, the, you know, quarterly reviews, client reviews, year-end reviews of those projects, and then also even peer-to-peer. We talked about the human and talent side of things, peer-to-peer feedback and recognition. So if someone's on a call, maybe a less experienced member of the team, and maybe they handled a situation in a way that could have been done better or differently. The teams are really empowered to have a direct one-on-one conversation and say, hey, I observed this. This is the impact, or this is how that might have made the client feel or made me feel, or this is the impact of that, and being open to not only providing real-time active feedback, but also being receptive to listening to that feedback and understanding that perspective and having a good conversation around it. So a lot of those, it goes deep. There's a lot of methodologies we use. There's a lot of tools we use. Obviously, we're heavily in teams as well. So we have good team chats and project channels, and we use the chat a lot to just keep folks up on communication. Obviously, things like email and documented things like status notes and updates. So we try and be really detailed and buttoned up with all those tools. But like anywhere, there's always room for improvement. We're not perfect, and we continue to try and improve upon those processes as we go.
Oh, that's great. And the last thing I think it would be great to leave kind of our listeners with, and we always endeavor to give some kind of practical insight around something that you're executing in your shop that's having a great benefit and result. But we've talked about lots of dialogue, transparency, people first, and then translating that into more practical execution, such as sharing goals, objectives, performance of the firm all the way down to the individual project, which in your type of work is really critical, right? Because a decision to absorb some margin from a particular third-party vendor could have big repercussions and ripple through the engagement, as we know. But for those pondering, do we go more transparent? Do we go a little bit less? Do we give more control? Where do we strike that balance based on culture? What's your advice on kind of embarking on this journey? And what's the one or two things you'd consider or have a firm consider leaving them with that as they start pondering this notion of, you know, lots of candor, postmortems, transparency? What's your advice to other firms of similar size or even dissimilar size?
You know, first my mind would go, do you have to do what works for your organization? So every business, every company is different. The culture and goals of every company are different. So there's no one size fits all. But the one piece of advice or guidance that I could offer is really be true to understanding and clearly articulating what is your vision and what is your purpose for being as an organization. And then leaning on listening to and asking your teams what they need to be successful. What questions do they have? And being open to having that candid feedback so that they understand the rules of the game. They understand how they can be successful. They clearly understand what success looks like. I feel like a lot of organizations and leaders, including myself, you know, can do better at clearly articulating and defining what success looks like. So to summarize that up is ask your people, listen, ask more questions. I think those are the two things I would say to take away is ask more questions and be open to listen for feedback from your teams who are actually doing the work. Do they understand where we're headed as an organization? Do they understand the vision of the organization? Do they understand what's expected? What questions do they have? And allow them that comfort, that psychological safety to be able to clearly, transparently, openly discuss those things so that they can be fixed, so that they can be addressed, so that, and oftentimes there might be challenges that are uncovered that leadership just might not know. Never lose sight of the people who are doing the work, the team who is getting it done day in and day out. That is the lifeblood of the organization. Continue to just understand what their needs are and where you can help be a servant leader to them to help support them so that they are set up for success. Continue to grow their careers, develop their skills and coaching and mentoring mindset. So you look at managers and department leads as more of coaches and mentors and understanding. So taking it back to my journey and looking back where I started, there was just so much that I just didn't understand. about how the business operated when I first started. I didn't understand what was expected in terms of, like, you know, different profitability elements or the things that I could do directly that would have an immediate impact on the client experience or the people experience or the financial experience for the business. So we have to just know that everyone is coming into in a different spot in their careers and in their knowledge of how the business operates. So the more we can help guide those team members along, help listen and ask what they may not be understanding, what may be confusing to them or what's expected of them, then we'll be able to really accelerate the productivity of those teams, their level of engagement and excitement, because they're part of a shared vision. They're part of a shared team and a collaborative environment where ultimately they understand what success looks like and everybody's rowing in that same direction. Everybody's working together as a collaborative unit, not in siloed departments or, leadership closed doors where there's just this complete separation between the decision makers and those that are actually doing the work. It's really essential to get to the folks who are doing the work, to understand where they're at, to understand they're going to be the best ones fit to understand what our clients might need. They might help inform directions in innovation, directions in process developments or pain points that others in management or leadership positions just might not see.
Oh, that's great advice and very, very, very sound advice, particularly in, you know, this year, kind of a challenging market, but great to take to heart. Transparency, listening, getting to those teams that really have their finger on the pulse of the client engagement, the relationship, the sentiment, and driving and propelling the organization forward. So again, Matt, thanks so much for joining us today, giving us some of these insights. And for our listeners, again, our guest today is Matt Odette from the marketing services agency Kramer, based up in Boston, but serving global clients. For our listeners, as always, thanks for listening to the show. If you have any follow-up questions for Matt, myself, our team, please feel free to email them to podcast@contada.com. Again, that's podcast@contada.com, and we'd love to answer them. Thanks again, Matt.
Thanks so much for having me, Brent. This was a great conversation, and best of luck to everyone out there. And we're all in the same boat. You know, where none of us have lived life on this journey at the points that we're at, and we're all on a continuous learning, continuous improvement journey. So really appreciate this type of thoughtful dialogue.
If you enjoyed this podcast, let us know by giving the show a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform and leaving a comment. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, you can do so anywhere you get podcasts, on any podcast app. And to learn more about the power of Contada's purpose-built technology, go to contada.com. Thanks again for listening.